What's up, guys? It's your girl Ginger, the true crime queen. I'm reminding you now that listener discretion is advised. The dark nature of the show is not suitable for young ears or those that are sensitive to graphic material. But without further ado, let's get it. Welcome back, everyone. And for this week, as my season finale, I am back on my bullshit with the story of Mary Kay Letourneau, Washington's infamous female child rapist. You don't hear many people calling her that right up front, and from what I can tell, not a lot of people even talk about Mary Kay Letourneau here in the true crime world. She just seems to easily be forgotten within the midst of all of Washington's other crazy cases, but I'm not letting this woman off so easily. She repeatedly raped a 13-year-old student who she claimed to be in love with. Nope, not today, sorry, but most definitely not sorry, because no matter what the circumstances, what she did is very much a crime and absolutely not okay, like at all. So if you're not familiar with this case today, you're in for a weird ride. As far as regular trigger warnings go, there should be an obvious one for the topic of rape in general, I suppose. Though it will simply be the subject in the form of charges, not really any graphic descriptions of instances at all. Also, this would be considered a crime against the child, but it definitely wasn't viewed that way by a lot of the media from what I can tell, which is the other half of the reason that I get so angry about this case. So enough, let's start spilling the tea, because Mary Kay Letourneau had a pretty interesting life, to say the least. Mary Kay Schmitz, that's her maiden name, Schmitz, was born on January 30th of 1962 in Tustin, California, to Mary and John G. Schmitz. They were a big Catholic family with a total of 7 children. Her parents were actually really well-known people and also very politically active within the state of California between the 70s and the 90s. Her father previously taught political science at Santa Ana College, but he would eventually run for president during the 1972 United States election as a member of the right-wing American Independent Party. He obviously didn't win, but in the long run, he would actually end up spending more time within the California State Senate. He fought against issues like sex education and was said to be really against condoms being widely available to the youth, this coming from a man who has 7 fucking kids. Mary Kay's mom was said to be a chemist, actually, which is pretty impressive for the time, but also, she was a well-known political advocate who spent her time against the Equal Rights Amendment. She was a woman advocating against women's rights. Yeah. Well, a year after her father's candidacy, there would be a family tragedy when one of 11-year-old Mary's younger brothers, who was 3 at the time, was said to have accidentally drowned in the family's backyard pool when he accidentally slipped inside and no one noticed until it was too late. 2 of her other surviving brothers, though, would actually go on to serve as government officials who worked directly under both President Bush Jr. and Sr., and one of them now serves as a foreign policy advisor to President Trump. I'm specifically referencing Joseph E. Schmitz, if you're interested at all. As far as Mary Kay goes, though, she went on to attend an all-girl Catholic high school in Anaheim, California. She began attending college at Arizona State University in 1980, and Mary said herself that she really spent a lot of those early years partying. She joined in a sorority and ended up dating a guy named Steve Letourneau, who happened to be in a fraternity, so they were like, you know, the perfect 80s couple, from the sounds of it. But when Mary Kay was 20 years old, her family, or really her dad, would again be the talk of the town when it came out that her well-known father apparently had a whole-ass other family on the side, complete with 2 children and a metaphorical dog, and obviously out of wedlock. And it literally ruined his political career and the marriage that he had with Mary Kay's mother at the time. And to make things more interesting, but probably more coincidental than actually related, I don't know, you can decide, but the woman who Mary Kay's father ended up having this affair with would also turn out to be his former student, who was much younger than him. I believe that Mary Kay's parents were eventually able to reconcile years after this. Like I said, it was a pretty strict Catholic family too, so divorce was frowned upon almost as much as the affair. So, in my opinion, Mary Kay learned that this behavior would be forgivable. At least, that's what I can gather from the situation already. Mary Kay and her boyfriend Steve Letourneau ended up getting pregnant with their first child together very early into their relationship and were then really sort of pressured into a marriage because of her religious upbringing. And though it was upsetting to her Catholic parents, Steve, the guy who got Mary Kay pregnant, was more than willing to put a ring on it and get this family started. I mean, he was a good dude. He would actually end up getting a pretty good job up in Alaska, apparently working as a baggage handler at the airport for Alaskan Airlines. So they moved up there to Anchorage for a bit when first becoming parents. After a year in Anchorage, though, Steve lucks out and gets a transfer back down to the Seattle-Tacoma Airport in 1987. So they start in Arizona and then go to Alaska, which is almost the total end of the spectrum as far as climate goes, and then they go back to Washington, which is about, I suppose, right in the middle. There, Mary Kay, Steve, and their firstborn son would welcome the second baby, a little girl. Mary Kay would actually pick up back in her schooling at the nearby Seattle University, where she then graduated in the spring of 1989, and the very next fall she landed her dream job at the nearby Shorewood Elementary, where she first spent a few years teaching second grade, and then later she switched and was teaching sixth grade. By 1995, Mary Kay and Steve would actually have a total of four children together. She's a really popular teacher at the school, and he has a pretty good job at the airport, and they're just doing their thing as a normal, busy American family with four kids. In 1996, everything is going to change. Back when Mary Kay was a second grade teacher, she met a young boy named Vili Folau. He was said to be a first-generation American from a Samoan family. He was originally born in Honolulu, Hawaii, on June 26th of 1983, when Mary Kay was in college. And then his family relocated to Washington at the age of four. At the time, he's being raised by his mother, Suna, who happened to be working multiple jobs, being that his father was away in prison, and they happened to be living in a pretty rough part of Seattle with four other siblings. So Mary Kay would end up being his sixth grade and his second grade teacher, so she was already familiar with him and his family by the time sixth grade rolled around. And just for reference, most sixth graders in America are 11 and 12. Vili liked to draw a bunch, and his classmates would usually hit him up to make him something, and by the time he's 12, Mary Kay also notices that Vili's pretty talented for his age. For the upcoming summer after sixth grade, Mary Kay had convinced Vili, and probably his mom, to enroll him in a figure drawing class down at the nearby community college, pretty convinced that he was going to be a very gifted artist with lots of potential. Which I'm sure he was, but honestly, Mary Kay seems to have her own agenda. Vili has actually said before that back in sixth grade, while bullshitting with his little friends, he had made something like a $20 bet to some of the other kids in class that he could hook up with their teacher, Mrs. Letourneau. So that's literally what inspired this whole bizarre-ass affair. A childhood bet. Wowza. But it gets cringier. So by the end of sixth grade, Vili is shooting his shot with his teacher, Mary Kay, saying, "You know, I think I'm in love with someone." And of course, as most teachers would reply, because clearly this child wants to talk about something, she's like, "Oh yeah? Well, does she love you too?" And she says that she did have an assumption that it was about her, but she was just plain stupid. But when he answered, "Well, it's not right for her," Mary admits suddenly she got nervous and asked Vili, "Well, does she know that you're in love with her?" And this sixth grade boy, you guys, was like, "I don't know. Does she?" Like, it's a middle school come on if I've ever fucking heard one. But at this point, she obviously knows he met her, and she explains that she suddenly cannot make eye contact with this child. "Really? You are the adult, lady. You can make eye contact with whoever you want. The fact that you feel like you can't make eye contact with this child is already upsetting to me." But then she asks 12-year-old Vili, "Well, can you just, like, hold on to that feeling for a long, long time?" So she clearly fucking knows that this is not appropriate. And I say that because she will straight up later have the nerve to say, "Oh, I didn't know it was illegal, though." Honestly, this is the moment that Mary Kay Letourneau's face becomes very punchable. She explains that she was really just supporting his dreams to become an artist, and they began building his portfolio over the summer of 96. So they started spending a lot more time together, after school, during school, walking through the halls together, hanging out in her car on breaks even. I'm glaring, but you can't see me. At some point, while they're sitting in her car one of these many, many times, Vili ends up actually going in for the kiss with the line, "What would you do if I came over there and kissed you?" And you guys want to know what she said? "Only a coward would ask." So obviously, this kid takes it as the green light to kiss his teacher. And we've just now crossed a very, very bold line, you guys. Mary Kay says that she accepted this first kiss from Billy because she said, and get ready for this, that she technically wasn't his teacher anymore. Like, that even fucking matters, lady. Oh my God. Seriously? She said that. I mean, it's a 34-year-old teacher and a 13-year-old, not even a 13-year-old child. He's still 12 at this point. But I'm sure this little boy, Billy, is probably like, fuck yes, dude, I made out with my teacher. I wonder if I could smash now. I'm gonna get $20 for this. You know, because he's 13 and totally dumb. But she knows that this is not okay, and honestly, that's a hill that I'm willing to die on. Mary Kay tries to explain that Billy actually took kindergarten twice, though, so he was technically older than the rest of the kids. He was bigger, and he even had a mustache starting to grow. So, you know, it was just probably really hard for her to distinguish this child from her husband. Yeah. So, of course, Mary Kay and Billy continue making up more excuses to hang out. Billy would even start spending more time at the Letourneau home, disguised as Billy being friends with their oldest son, who is no fucking joke, just a year and a half younger than Billy. And I'm about to barf. She's claiming to her husband that she's simply Billy's mentor, because obviously Mary Kay and Billy are oddly beginning to spend an incredibly inappropriate amount of time together, while she simultaneously grows even farther apart from her husband, who's like, what's up with this kid here all the time? According to Mary Kay's ex-husband himself, this kid Billy would literally be calling up the Letourneau home at like all hours of the night. And that's even when he started to become suspicious that something was up. But how could he ever assume that it would be something with his wife and not like one of his daughters? Who was like 10 at the time, so honestly that would still probably be really weird for a dad. That's how it was before cell phones. That was the only way to talk to your crush in the middle of the night, was to risk calling the landline after 9 o'clock. But then, police would find Mary Kay and Billy together in a parked car down at the marina on June 18th of 1996. When police pulled them out of the car, they actually would call Billy's mother, who knew that they were spending a lot of time together, so she allowed police to return Billy to the custody of Mary Kay. So nothing fucking happened, and Mary Kay's dirty little secret would continue right on. I honestly wonder what the cops thought of that whole little scenario, though. And I mean, Billy's own mom said it did seem sort of odd to her just how much time Billy was spending with his old teacher, but claims that she never thought it would lead to full-blown having sex in the back of a van at the marina type shit. Like, clearly, even she is aware of just how inappropriate the aspect of them having even any type of relationship is, that her mind won't even let her consider the real possibility of it. And I think most people wouldn't. I mean, it was a pretty rare occurrence that a female teacher might actually end up on To Catch a Predator had this been a different time or place. One evening, though, when Billy is at the Letourneau home and Mary Kay's husband Steve is out of the home at work, Mary Kay and Billy will end up kissing again, and this time it eventually leads to full-blown sex with her own children in the home, downstairs, sitting on the couch while watching a movie. Actual sex with a child not much older than her own children. That's the cringiest thing I've almost ever had to say on this podcast. Like, I really wish I had ads to put, because I'd put one right here, because it's so fucking awkward. Anyways, from Mary's perspective, she was the only supportive person in Billy's life. In Billy's perspective, he had a natural crush on his very charming sixth grade teacher, and only felt excited by the idea that she may feel the same way that he does. She was a grown-ass adult who has admitted that even she expected more of herself and that she trusted herself to ignore this attraction to the child. What? But she gave in to her own selfish desires. I mean, it's obvious that she is aware that he's crushing on her, and she is somehow excited by this prospect, despite just how inappropriate and unacceptable it is. And it just gets worse, honestly. Not only is Mary Kay technically committing the act of rape, which she is allegedly unaware of, but she then has the fucking audacity to act like super surprised when she learns that she's now pregnant with this child's baby. And even her husband Steve would likely realize that this is not his baby, since they have not been intimate for quite some time.
On today's episode of How Fucked Up Is Fucked Up.
Like, first off, you're cheating on your husband. Second, you're cheating on your husband with a student. Thirdly, you're cheating on your husband with a student who is 13 years old. You clearly do not care just how fucking wrong this is. It is almost three levels of fucked up.
That's fucked up.
I think, honestly, then she wanted her husband to find out. Mary Kay started writing in her journal about this big-ass pickle that she's in, and she's writing letters to Billy where they discuss the very real issue that she is pregnant. And apparently Mary Kay's stupid ass just left these super incriminating letters somewhere that Steve Letourneau happened to find them. This was in October of 1996. And just real quickly, I have to point out, do you know how hard it is for my husband to find anything? Honestly, even when he's looking for something? So the fact that this man actually found this evidence makes me feel like either he was looking for it, because he's obviously suspicious, or he found it because Mary left it on the toilet or some shit. I mean, can you even imagine reading these letters, though, between your wife, the mother of your four children, and you're learning that, yeah, she is having sex with one of her students, and not only that, she's fucking pregnant. Oh, hell no, you got, no. So Steve obviously immediately confronts Mary, who knows what the hell he actually said to her, but then he, no shit, actually goes down to Billy's house, not sure why he knows where he lives, and straight up asked a 13-year-old Billy Falau if he slept with Mary Kay, to which Billy actually admitted yes. Then Steve warns Billy that he better stay the fuck away from Mary Kay or he's gonna tell Billy's mom what's going on. Like, hold on, really? Like, his mom can do anything about the fact that your wife is raping her son? At this point, Steve seems to not even realize it's a fucking crime that his wife has slept with her very underage student. It's like his reaction is almost delusional, the fact that he's more threatened at this time by Billy and Mary Kay's relationship rather than acknowledging how abso-fucking-lutely illegal it is in the sense that Billy is a literal child. But Steve is just fucking pissed, right? He's like tunnel vision red. And he goes down to the divorce attorney's office, and it's only at that point that he actually finds out that what Mary Kay has been doing is actually a crime. A fucking duh. And that police can actually charge her if he wants to go down that road. But he doesn't. It's not until Steve is so pissed off in the coming days about this whole entire thing that he's actually telling some of his own family members what's going on, and they are the ones that actually call police. A fucking man for those people, dude. At least someone in this story so far is not thinking with just their heart. Then on February 26th of 1997, a 6-month pregnant Mary Kay was asked to come down to the police station and talk with investigators. She never even considered that she would be getting charged with something. She explained that she was actually more worried that Billy got in trouble somehow. It wasn't until that she was being read her Miranda rights that she figured out she was the one who was in trouble. And she figured at the most, she would get slapped with a little bit of community service, but never imagined that she would have to serve any jail time. To confirm the allegations, a cop also interviewed Billy right away, and he admitted to everything that had happened between them, probably expecting to be high-fived, you know, because like I said, he's a dumb 13-year-old kid, and also clearly has no idea of what he's about to be dragged into. Less than a week later, on March 4th, Mary Kay Letourneau is arraigned on charges of second-degree child rape. And she happens to be 7 months pregnant with her victim's baby. This is when the media on the case would go apeshit. Literally, for one of the only times in modern history has there ever been a female teacher accused of raping a student, and the fact that she would turn out to be pregnant was just the beginning of this entire charade. No one could have known that it wouldn't be stopping here. It wasn't even until a friend of Mary Kay's had actually suggested to her that she should probably get an attorney. So she did, and this guy's name is David Gurney. He interestingly recommends to her that she should just plead guilty to the charges, as she would technically be able to qualify for some first-time offender type of reduced sentence, and being that she's very clearly pregnant, she probably shouldn't risk taking the charges to court. And while making the decision, just weeks after her arraignment, Mary Kay would actually end up giving birth to a baby girl named Audrey on May 29th of 1997 while in the custody of the state. This would technically be Mary Kay's fifth child, but the first child with Billy. Yep, Billy's only 14 at the time that he becomes a father, and because of this, his mother, Suna, actually has to get temporary state custody of baby Audrey and would ultimately be the one having to take care of her. Because how the fuck is a 14-year-old child going to support a baby? He can't even get a job. I mean, sometimes I just cannot believe this case. On July 8th of 1997, Mary Kay would reappear in court before the judge, looking at 7 years in prison. which in my opinion really isn't enough because now this child's life is literally over, being that he's a fucking father himself now. But somehow, her attorney manages to get Mary Kay to agree to the special plea bargain where if she pleads guilty to the charges, she would end up only having to spend 6 months in county jail, and they would suspend the other 7-year sentence as long as she attended mandatory sex offender treatment for a total of 3 years. She would also not be allowed to have contact with Billy for 10 years, and she would ultimately lose her right to teach in the state of Washington and never be able to return to the classroom again. To which she agreed to all of this. She then pled guilty to the 2 counts of second-degree rape of a child, and the deal was done.
Your Honor, I did something that I had no right to do, morally or legally. I give you my word that it will not happen again.
And seriously, I feel like Mary Kay really received a pathetic slap on the wrist, and they're really, really giving her a break. I mean, she didn't even have to register as a fucking sex offender, but she was prohibited of having any contact with children, including her own 5, as well as Billy. And if she were to violate any terms of this agreement, she would have to serve the original full term of 7 years. And I'm still mad about the 7 years. Why only 7 years? That's a terribly low amount of time to threaten a predator with. I mean, that punishment hardly fits the crime, in my personal opinion. So when Mary Kay has to serve the 6 months, her soon-to-be ex-husband Steve will take their 4 kids and move back up to Alaska to try and steer clear of the mess his wife just dragged their family into. And in an interview just after her guilty plea, Steve was sort of like, yeah, she was a good wife and mother, but, you know, obviously it didn't stay that way. Which, yikes, dude, just can't even fathom the range of emotions that man might have felt. So after serving her slap on the wrist of 6 months for sleeping with a 13-year-old boy and having his child, Mary Kay is unfortunately released into the custody of a friend within a community program where she is supposed to continue her mandated weekly counseling treatment and is most definitely not supposed to see Billy, specifically per the conditions of her release. Well, Mary says that when she first got out, she was told that she could remain in contact with her children and was offered a treatment program, but that the actual counselor person that she had to meet with told her that just like the men in his program, she would not get to have contact with her children, and that he would ultimately be the one to determine if she would ever have her parental rights back again. Which, yeah, Mary, that's what happens when you rape kids. So Mary Kay apparently decided, well, fuck this, I'm just gonna go back to prison where I can at least call my children once a day. And she said in her documentary that she really thought that she wouldn't have to serve the full 7 years, maybe just like 1 or 2. Which the entitlement and the privilege is just disgusting. And she clearly doesn't give a flying fuck, because within 30 days of her release, she is yet again caught with Billy, the one person she has been specifically prohibited from interacting with, all steamed up in another car just a block away from her friend's home. On February 3rd, apparently Mary Kay had arranged a meeting with a now 14-year-old Billy. They picked up some beer, $5 says it was Zima. Along with some snacks, they went and saw a movie, and by 2:30 in the morning, they were once again in the backseat of her car, parked somewhere random. Turns out police were in the same area looking for a stolen car when they found the 2 random people sitting in a dark, steamy car parked on the street. Well, Mary Kay hops in the front seat real quick, and Billy acts asleep in the back like a 13-year-old fucking would. And when police questioned them, they both opted to give fake names, and Mary Kay tells police that her friend here just got into a fight with her husband is all, and she's giving him a ride home. Obviously, police aren't buying her bullshit and pull her out of the car where she finally admits to who she is. And Billy tried to cover for her, saying that they didn't have sex or anything, so police technically can't charge her with rape again, but she is most definitely not getting away with violating the conditions of her release. After a search of the car, police also were said to have found $6,200 in cash, along with a bunch of baby clothes, a bunch of new men's clothes that seemed to have been purchased for Billy, and her passport, indicating that they might have had plans to flee the area. And no joke, also in her documentary and from the mouth of her own lawyer, he goes, "While out to dinner with Mary Kay, she casually asked me, 'Can they put tracking devices on my car?' Which he was like, 'Yeah, bitch, abso-fucking-lutely, and they probably are already watching you, so don't fuck up.'" And then it's not even 12 hours later, and he's getting a call that she's been picked up by police. So the judge is obviously pissed, and she tells Mary Kay that her violations are extraordinarily egregious and profoundly disturbing, which, yes, I agree, and that her obvious disregard for the law and her refusal to take any responsibility for anything has now really pissed this judge off so much that she immediately revokes the plea agreement and quickly tosses Mary Kay's ass over to the medium security Washington State Correctional Center for Women for the full term of 89 months, basically 7.5 years. Bye, bitch. Now, ex-husband Steve at this point is just like in total disbelief. So am I. So is most of the public, because the media again is quick to report that Mary Kay can't even contain herself for over a month before violating the terms of her sentencing agreement and again victimized the same boy, leading to another pregnancy. The outrage, though, just really doesn't seem to be there, because when I'm looking back at it now, through reports, the relationship is always referred to as love or forbidden love, and it's annoying. Like, Mary Kay Letourneau legit made the March 1998 cover of People magazine with one of her newborn daughters, like it was some wrongful conviction or some shit. I can't stand it. Soon after that cover, Mary Kay would then give birth to their second baby girl named Georgia on October 19th of 1998, again while in the state's custody. This would be the second baby that she had with Billy before he's even 16 years old. Billy's mom would now have to raise two of their children, which obviously had to be bittersweet. I mean, they are her grandchildren after all. But here she is just trying to support her own family. Her husband's in jail. She's working multiple jobs to feed her four kids. And now she's got two fucking grandkids, all because this grown-ass woman can't fucking sleep with her own husband. I mean, I would lose my fucking mind, honestly. If this were my child, this would have been an entirely different story that I would have to be telling from my jail cell. You do not mess with people's children. And despite this no contact order that is still in between her and Billy, the 14-year-old Billy, Mary Kay is actually pumping breast milk at the prison for her newborn baby. And that breast milk apparently gets picked up by Billy's mom, Suna. Apparently, Mary Kay is writing these little love notes to Billy and sticking them in the caps of the bottles, sending them back and forth. Mary is eventually caught, and after getting mouthy with a guard, she's sent to solitary confinement for a total of 18 months. After she was let out, other inmates had told reporters that Mary was apparently having her other inmate friends call Billy for her, and even author Greg Olson had said once in an interview for his book that he wrote about the case, titled If Loving You Is Wrong, that throughout Mary Kay's whole 7-year sentence, Billy would actually end up dating other teenage girls because he's in high school at this point. All while Mary Kay is stuck in prison, and she would apparently like trip the fuck out in there in front of all the other women. And I guess at one point, Mary Kay had even threatened Billy that if he were to ever leave her for someone else, that someone, finger quotes, someone, could end up killed. Well, the joke's on you, you dumb bitch. It's your own fault you're in jail. But honestly, all this attention and stress would of course have a toll on Billy. And honestly, becoming a father at the age of 14 would be an incredibly tough transition, especially if you're already not in the greatest of circumstances. Billy had explained early on that his family actually had more say in what would happen with his children than him, being that he was so young himself. He was said to have dropped out of high school. He lost his friends because they don't have kids. He became depressed and eventually started succumbing to periodic bouts of alcoholism. I mean, Mary Kay literally ruined his life. When she was originally sent to prison, Mary Kay was absolutely not allowed to see her own children during this incarceration. And it was a little bit of a hurdle, but Mary Kay's lawyer actually fought the courts, and she was eventually granted the right to supervise visitations. So Mary was then able to see her two youngest daughters about every 2 weeks and was able to manage or maintain somewhat of a relationship with her other children who had moved back to Alaska with their father, Steve. Also, while Mary Kay is serving her time in prison, she and Billy had actually managed to somehow write and publish a book together that they had titled Un Sol Crime Amore, or I guess that translates to Only One Crime Love. And it was actually only released in France in 1999, but I believe she really didn't want this book being sold in American stores from what I can tell. In 2002, Billy's mom, Suna, had actually filed a lawsuit against the school district that Mary Kay had worked for and the local police department. It would actually end up being a 9-week-long trial to determine if school officials, as well as the Seattle police, were negligent in recognizing that a sexual relationship had occurred between her 12-year-old son, Billy, and his 34-year-old teacher. Her and Billy claimed that as a result of this negligence, Billy had suffered from being bullied, he was depressed, suffered drug and alcohol abuse, and now, at the age of 18, he is virtually unemployable. They were seeking $2 million in damages from both the Highline School District and the Des Moines Police Department, citing the incident back in June of 1996 when officers had released Billy back to his abuser, Mary Kay. Billy's mom would also testify to her knowledge about the relationship, claiming that she had even wondered about Billy at one time after noticing, you know, how much time he had spent with his teacher. But like I said before, she never considered that this woman was actually having sex with her teenage son. She expected better from this woman and the school district. Billy also testified in this trial, and you need to listen to this shit.
She said she would strip for me. For every answer I got right on the test, she was going to take one part of her clothes or one of her clothing off that she had on.
Like, what in the Billy Madison, Chris Farley driving the bus, stop looking at me, Schwan, O'Doyle rules type of shit is that? No fucking way, Mary Kay. By the end of the trial, a jury had completely disagreed with Billy and his mother, mainly because it came out that they had already burned through an estimated $180,000 they had made from tabloid and book sales in the years leading up to the lawsuit. And honestly, I don't see how it could have been either one of the school or the police department's fault any more than it was Mary Kay's fault. I'm not saying the school district doesn't really have a responsibility to make sure that their teachers aren't raping the students. And I don't mean to sound unsympathetic to our victim here, because I do truly feel he's a victim, but it's hard to say that it was anybody else's fault but Mary Kay's. I mean, I would even hold Kyron Horman's school more responsible than this school in terms of liabilities and looking after the fact. About 2 to 3 weeks before Mary Kay was to be released, and while on one of her regular visits with her two youngest daughters, they actually ended up singing a traditional Hawaiian proposal song to Mary Kay as a message sent from their dad, Billy. And on August 4th of 2004, Mary Kay was again released into a community placement program, but this time was forced to register as a level 2 sex offender within 24 hours of her release. Their youngest daughter, Georgia, was now 7, and the other, Audrey, was 8 years old when their mom would finally come home from prison. And because they wanted to get married, Billy has to immediately go down to the courts and now seek a permanent removal of the no-contact order that's been in place between him and Mary Kay, even though she really wasn't abiding by it. He also did this within a day of her release, which really enabled them to go ahead and get married if they wanted to, because he's now an adult at the age of 21. She's technically the mother of his children, and he's completely in his rights to do whatever the hell he wants to. And I think this is where the media, and I guess a fair amount of people, would expect to see this coming. I mean, we had heard for so long that they wanted to be together in the first place. I mean, they're in love, right? But I really have a hard time seeing the media being so fucking cool if these genders were reversed. Because, I mean, now Mary Kay and Billy are sitting down for interviews together with Barbara fucking Walters. This took place, no joke, about 2 months after her release from prison.
Did you try to resist this? Did you know that this was something that was wrong or that society would see as wrong?
I definitely knew that it was bizarre. I will say that I didn't know that getting into a relationship that a sexually intimate relationship, I didn't know that was a felony or a crime. I knew it wasn't right. I mean, Billy and I loved each other and still do.
At the end, Barbara asked Mary, was it all worth it? And Mary Kay replied, I don't look at life that way. I just do my best. I did my best. Really? Really? Then, Entertainment Tonight actually offered the succubus of a woman $750,000 for the rights to broadcast Mary Kay and Billy's wedding on television. Are we serious right now? What is wrong with Entertainment Tonight? I read that metal detectors were actually used on the wedding guests to help eliminate the chance of any photos being released to the public before they would have a chance to sell them. I mean, that is literally insane to me. I mean, they're absolutely planning on profiting off this story. And the media is literally just gobbling it up. Mary Kay and Billy got married in Woodinville, Washington at the Columbia Winery with about 200 people in attendance. They had their daughters as their flower girls right beside them. Now remember, Billy is just 21 years old. Like, for the love of God, please, please don't get married until you're at least, like, 26. Please. And this is another thing that really bothers me too, but Mary and Billy were practically gifted their entire wedding registry from people who felt bad for the couple and truly believed that they were just always meant to be together. They legit received tons and tons of letters and cards congratulating them on their future together. And because she wasn't allowed to leave the state of Washington for 2 years after her release, they weren't really allowed to leave and go have this fancy honeymoon. So instead, they purchased and settled themselves into a super nice beachfront home in Des Moines, Washington, where they raised their daughters together for the next 7 or 8 years. Her older children, with Steve, would actually come down and start visiting periodically. Mary Kay told reporters that her plans at this point were to now have at least one more baby with Billy, as well as return to her career as a teacher, where now the law would only permit her to work her at private schools or at community colleges. Which honestly has me asking like a billion other questions at this point. But Mary does eventually begin working as a legal assistant, interestingly, while her husband, Billy, is DJing at nightclubs around Seattle at night and working at Home Depot during the day. And from this point on, they're very much in the public eye, but they don't really seem to mind it much. I mean, they even raised their two daughters in the same school district that Mary had taught. But after this marriage, I think is when things do actually start going downhill. In December of 2005, just 6 months after they got married, Billy was reportedly pulled over for speeding one night, and he would end up blowing a .136, which is almost double the legal limit in the state of Washington. He lucked out, and he was forced to serve only 1 day in jail, and he had to pay a fine of $2,100. He also had a 365-day sentence that was suspended. So at this point, Billy had to be really good about not getting caught doing anything else stupid for quite a while, or else he would have to serve that full year sentence. About 6 months after that, on June 5th of 2006, Mary Kay and Billy would be on TV again, this time with Larry King for an interview about their 1 year anniversary together. During this interview, they explained that they were pretty proud of themselves for being able to wait out the heartache of their almost 8 years apart, yet they still somehow managed to end up with two pretty well-adjusted and beautiful daughters, and they can now just be their happy little family that they've always wanted to be. Which makes me, honestly, really sad for Mary Kay's other four children. I bet they're watching at home like, what about us? And from her appearance in this interview, Mary Kay would really seem happier than a pig in shit, almost. And I literally hate that the media is being so nice to her. I mean, I don't know why, at that point, the media is still giving them the time of the day. If we had a 13-year-old girl, who's now 21, who wanted to marry her abuser, we would be like, wow, man, this girl needs help. She's clearly been groomed, and she just doesn't see what's happening here. I mean, why? Because he's a 21-year-old male, did we give him the benefit of the doubt and believe that this is really what he wanted? I mean, think about it. He had two children with this woman. He was threatened by her that if he ever left her for someone else, that someone, finger quotes, someone could end up dead. And then there's the whole aspect that if you father children with someone, you're supposed to marry that person and take care of the children together. Well, that doesn't necessarily apply if the children are the product of a rape. But obviously, he loves his children. He doesn't see it this way. He doesn't feel this way. And nobody else apparently did either. Things seemed to be pretty quiet from there on out, but then in January of 2014, Mary Kay was issued a warrant for her arrest, but it's not exactly what you might think. A year earlier, Mary Kay had been pulled over for expired tabs and was then found to have been driving on a suspended license for some previously unpaid tickets that she had. Then, after failing to show up at some court-ordered relicensing program and a court hearing regarding her charges, an arrest was issued. So, I mean, I kind of just get the feeling that Mary Kay does whatever the fuck Mary Kay wants to do, but in, like, the worst way. A year later, for a second time in 2015, Barbara Walters would again interview Mary Kay and Billy for an episode of 2020. At this point, Billy is now 31 years old, and Mary Kay is actually 53, It's nearing their 10th anniversary at this point, and during the interview, Mary tells Barbara about how she now plans to request that her sex offender status title be removed because she doesn't, and never did, believe that she was a sex offender. Also, during this particular interview, you can almost see a clear disconnect between Mary Kay and Billy. Billy admits that at this point he doesn't know if he's depressed or not, but that he knows he does feel bad for certain parts of his life. And I feel like I know exactly what he means, too. He would seem to be questioning if he made the right choices in his life, but doesn't want to disrespect the existence of his children. And 2 years after that interview, Mary Kay and Billy would again hit the headlines. Just 2 years after that interview, Mary Kay and Billy would then again hit headlines in 2017 when the media found the public records in Seattle indicating that Billy finally wanted a separation after 11 years of marriage and over 20 years of fighting to be together. In the separation filings, they reportedly did not have a prenuptial and he was only asking for his own personal property in the separation. They would flip-flop a little bit back and forth on this, though, for some time. Mary Kay didn't want this relationship to end. I mean, honestly, of course she wouldn't. She's built up this fantasy situation with Billy. She literally threw away her entire life for this kid while also ruining his, all as a result of her own stupid-ass choices. Now, she's in her mid-50s, she's got health issues, she's tired, her back probably hurts, and Billy's in the prime of his life. He's healthy, he wants to go out, he wants to party, he wants to learn, he wants to travel, and his job as a parent is virtually over because he had children so young. So why the fuck would he want to be stuck at home with a woman the same age as his mom? Honestly, it's a shitty situation for both of them, but even an idiot would know that this could happen when you date someone twice your fucking age. Did we not all see that coming? During the many pushback separation proceedings, I found that Billy again got into trouble for drunk driving and was reportedly arrested this time on February 2nd of 2018, where he had allegedly crashed into two other cars after running a red light. Interestingly, while at the site of the crash, Billy apparently called his on-and-off-again ex-wife, Mary Kay, to the scene, and when she arrived, she went full-on Karen and started yelling at Billy to not take a sobriety or a breathalyzer test without her lawyer present. His blood levels were eventually found to be a 0.08, which is the exact legal limit, but he also had THC in his system as well. At the time, that was also legal in Washington, but it's not legal to drive high. So Billy was then booked into jail and able to post a $10,000 bond and was released right after. Later that same year, in 2018, a documentary was being released on A&E giving Mary Kay the opportunity to tell her story from her perspective. I believe you can find it on the A&E app or with your cable provider service if you have that channel. But this view into Mary Kay's personality actually reminds me a lot of Jodi Arias sometimes, how she'll just sort of act like her victim was just so persuasive and persistent, and that they just lost their sight of any and all morality. But after knowing more about the timeline in Mary Kay's life, I am aware that she had actually taped this in between her efforts of reconciling with Billy. So I do think it's evident when you watch this documentary and notice just how emotional she is during the cameos on certain topics, because she's actually having to answer some of these questions with the very real aspect that Billy has expressed he doesn't want to be with her anymore. They opted not to discuss the separation in this documentary, and it would seem as though Mary Kay was still not comfortable with the idea with her and Billy going their separate ways. You could almost see the desperation, I guess you could say, in Mary Kay's need to keep this relationship just to really satisfy her selfish life choices. I mean, that's really just my opinion of the documentary. I mean, I watched it before knowing what else was going on in her life at the time of the taping, and I just thought that maybe she was drunk or on medication, but overall just really emotional. And then when I watched it again, knowing that he did in fact file for separation just before this, her demeanor now makes a lot more sense. Their daughters, Audrey and Georgia, were also interviewed about their own views on their parents' controversial relationship. And honestly, they're very beautiful and completely normal teenagers. They explained that they are aware of their parents' relationship and how it was considered pretty shocking at the time, but it's all that they've ever really known, and they weren't raised to think of it as anything abnormal. They also said that as a mother, Mary Kay was actually pretty strict about certain things. For instance, like not allowing the girls to wear push-up bras and that sort of stuff. Which is really interesting, because like, what you worried about Mary Kay? that someone might find your 13-year-old daughter attractive in some inappropriate way? Yeah, Honestly, though, I would have been the mouthiest child if I had any real context of the crimes that my mom committed and she was my mom. Like, our teenage years would have been way rougher than they were in actual reality. And really quickly, I should note that I really do honestly want to express my sincerest condolences to the children of Mary Kay, especially being that they were completely innocent in all this. I do not mean to disrespect them specifically when I'm talking about Mary Kay. Also, I mean no disrespect to Steve and her other children, or even really Villy, because I'm not here to victim shame at all. I personally feel bad that Villy's life was taken from him. But back to the story. Mary Kay does continue to battle the negative storm that follows her everywhere she goes. She told reporters during an interview on an Australian show called Sunday Night that she didn't know having sex with a 12-year-old was illegal. She was quoted in saying, if anyone had told me, there is a specific law that says this is a crime, I did not know. And I've said this over and over again. And she also apparently made the claims that she felt that she was wrongly convicted even. And this is the problem for me. Like, lady, things would be a little bit different for me if she would at least admit that she knew it was wrong, understands she fucked up, and that she's dealing with the consequences of her choices every day. But no, she continued to paint this picture like she's almost the victim in the situation. And honestly, that's bullshit. But the truth is, her and Villy did split up. Their separation became finalized in late 2019, and their assets were said to have been equally split. They did manage to remain co-parents to their two young daughters, and they were seen a lot of times out and about together in the city of Seattle, even after their separation. Some reports even said that they remained living together for quite some time. Apparently, too, Villy had later told Radar Online, so I'm not exactly sure how credible this is, but he allegedly explained that their separation was really just a legal loophole that they had to jump through because he wanted to start a marijuana business and he wouldn't be able to get the proper licenses because she wouldn't be able to pass the background checks necessary to get those licenses, being that she has the status of a registered sex offender. His lawyer would later dispute that Villy even gave this interview, but honestly, that does seem to make a lot of sense, but is also contradictory to what they were claiming to the courts. So I have no idea. Honestly, it doesn't even matter because just after the new year of 2020, just this year, Mary Kay was actually diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer, and it would seem that her health was fading rather quickly. She had lost a ton of weight, and the disease did her pretty dirty, and Villy actually stayed in the home to take care of her. Mary Kay was said to have passed away after her 6-month battle from cancer at the age of 58 on Monday, July 6th of 2020, just a few months back. She was able to pass away in the comfort of her own home, surrounded by Villy and her family in the Seattle suburbs. Much of Mary Kay's estate was left to Villy and their two daughters. I don't know if there's much of an estate to disperse between all of her children, though. In September of 2020, just 2 months after Mary Kay had passed away, Villy went on the Dr. Oz show, and when asked directly by Dr. Oz on what Villy would do if he ever found himself attracted to a 12-year-old, now that he's about the same age that Mary Kay was when their relationship started, Villy replied, "I'd probably go seek some help. I mean, I couldn't look at a 13-year-old and be attracted to that because it's just not my brain. It's nothing that I'm attracted to. I mean, we all have our preferences, and that's just not something I would go towards."
If you were attracted to a minor, what would you do?
Well, I'd probably go and seek some help. You know, I couldn't look at a 13-year-old and, you know, be attracted to that because it's just not, you know, it's not in my brain. It's nothing that I'm attracted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have our preferences, and that's just not something that I would go towards. You know, that is something I would. Well, I've been journaling a lot, and so a lot of it, can't really legislate morality, you know. It's some of the things, you know, we fall in love unexpectedly with people that we never expected to fall in love with in a million years. I mean, I don't think she, like, said to herself when she was younger that, You know, she was going to fall in love with someone that was 20 years younger than her. And I never thought I was going to fall in love with somebody that was 20 years older than I was.
So obviously, Billy does not feel like this was rape. He does not consider his wife a rapist. He does not feel that way about the situation. But we can all agree, including Billy, that sleeping with a 13-year-old child is inappropriate. And I always find myself wondering why Mary Kay Letourneau doesn't get a worse rap. Why was it ever called a relationship and not always a rape? What I think it comes down to is the fact that she was an attractive woman, and that there seems to be a huge double standard when it comes to sexual abuse when women are the aggressor. It obviously doesn't hurt her case that she is an attractive white woman, which we all know many times results in a punishment that doesn't fit the crime. But I do know that a man who was charged with a rape of his 13-year-old student would not be treated as nicely as Mary Kay Letourneau was by the media. What we're not going to do here is sugarcoat what's happening. This was not a relationship, it was not an affair, it was the rape of a child. The way the media glorified their relationship is a gross example of the obvious double standard we have about male rape. I mean, rape is rape. Believe it or not, there are male victims of sexual abuse, and I understand some people listening might not see this case as negatively as I do, but I will never get over how the media just handed over a shit ton of money so that we could all watch this victim marry his abuser. And though occurrences of female sexual offenders happen fairly rarely, doesn't mean it's not happening or that it's any less worse for the men it's happening to. When female-on-male rape does occur, it's heavily underreported, and we know that oftentimes the male victims don't report these instances of sexual abuse in general, and especially ones that include attractive women. The issue for me is that Mary Kay is a full-ass grown woman, you guys. We aren't talking about a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old here. We're talking about a 13-year-old and a 34-year-old. Their genders are abso-fucking-lutely irrelevant. If he is under the age of 16, they are not in love. You, as well as I, we all know that we cannot really be in love before this age. We're dumb at that age. Would we ever allow a male teacher to fall in love with a 13-year-old student regardless of gender? Very unlikely. So I believe Mary Kay somehow felt like her circumstances with Billy were somehow special to some sort of degree, you know? Like, age ain't nothing but a number. Wait. Did we really just... Age ain't nothing but a number, thrown down ain't nothing but a thing. This love I have for you, it'll never change. Nope, wrong. This is not okay. I need an adult. I mean, I'm not even sure how many people actually know this, but that song/album, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, was actually the name of 15-year-old R&B princess Aaliyah's debut album, who was produced by none other than her husband, 27-year-old Robert R. Kelly. Robert fucking sex cult Kelly, who met Aaliyah when she was just 12 years old. So please sit the fuck down with that age ain't nothing but a number shit. I mean, I love me some Aaliyah, but I cannot listen to that album the same anymore. But that whole mess is for an entirely different day. My point is that the whole sentence when talking about underage children is a crime in itself. It seems quite obvious to me that Billy was groomed into the situation that he found himself in. Mary Kay didn't choose a child whose parents are 100% in the picture. She chose him because his lack of parental resources and used it to her advantage. Reminder to everyone that she also had a fucking husband that she could have had sex with anytime she wanted. And Mary even has the fucking nerve to turn around and make a big deal out of the fact that she couldn't have contact with her own children despite being in jail for the second degree rape of a child. I understand her perspective from the viewpoint of a mother being in jail and not getting to see her children, but I don't support it if you are in fact in jail for abusing other children. That's where you done fucking lost me. Clearly, she's not sorry for what she did. She honestly believed that what she did was not wrong because they felt that they were soulmates. I mean, Mary acts like it's not a big deal since they didn't do anything while she was actually his teacher, which really just shows how in denial that she is about the whole situation. It's literally fucking disgusting listening to her talk about how he came onto her and how he was just so stubborn in his passion for her. Bitch, please do not blame this on a 13-year-old boy. She seems to have the mindset that she can really do whatever she wants because in the end, she's going to be forgiven. She saw it with her mom and her dad after he literally went off and had a whole ass other family on the side and was eventually forgiven for it. She saw it again when she lucked out the first time in the sex offender loophole where she was only sentenced to 6 measly months in jail. And then what happened? She was back in the car with Billy within days of her release. Then, when she's released after almost 8 years behind bars, the fucking media turns around and offers them almost $1 million to put a fucking ring on it. I mean, we would literally be losing our minds if the media had offered a male rapist any amount of money to marry his victim upon his release from prison. It's crazy to me. So yet again, he's literally being forced into something that he might not have ever done. If the normalization that young male students are super cool for hooking up with their semi-attractive teachers thanks to movies like That's My Boy or even shows like A Teacher on Hulu. Mary Kay believes that she can always be forgiven, and it's not forgivable. I'm sorry. Is she as bad as a serial killer? Well, no, of course not. But I absolutely believe she ruined Billy's life because of her predatory actions. And now it's a thing. There's a fucking list of at least 50 cases of female teachers sleeping with their underage students. No joke. It's not as rare as you'd fucking think anymore. And yes, it's just as bad as a male taking advantage of an underage female. It does not matter if they believe it's consensual. It literally is not relevant when it comes to anyone under the age of 16, especially if you are twice their age. Personally, I don't know if I could consider Mary Kay a pedophile or not, but I can't deny that what she did is pedophilic. Apparently, a pedophile is a person who's just sexually attracted to prepubescent children. So there's actually a different term that would seem to fit Mary Kay much more appropriately. That's called a hebephile. And that is a person who is primarily attracted to adolescents or children who have at least started puberty, but are still young and developing both mentally and physically. Generally, this means teenagers and preteens between the ages of 11 and 14. I personally did not even know there was a different classification of a pedophile. In the state of Washington, at least, the age of consent is 16. Not 15 and a half, not 13, but really mature. Not even 14 with a mustache, but 16 fucking years old. The difference between degrees in Washington as far as the charges of rape of a child would go, like second degree and first degree, would be the age of the victim and the age difference between the perp and the victim. First degree would include anyone under the age of 12. Second degree is anyone under the age of 14. And third degree is anyone under the age of 16. So the rules are pretty fucking clear. So there you have it. Washington's most infamous teacher, Mary Kay Letourneau. Honestly, I'm grateful that I don't have to keep saying her name out loud because she's quickly become one of the most irritating people I have covered so far this year. Anyways, really quickly, I want to take a second to thank you, yeah, you, every single person who has ever taken the chance on listening to my podcast. I know there's like 40 billion fucking true crime podcasts out there to choose from, so it honestly really means a lot to me that you gave mine a shot. I have a couple of shout outs too. I have to thank Nikki for just recently joining the Patreon because obviously she's dope as fuck and real recognize real. Then also I have a shout out to Jewel Forever. Thank you so much for your sweet ass review on Apple Podcasts. As I said in my last episode, this will be my final podcast episode for the year of 2020. I'm taking the holidays off to enjoy my loved ones. I'll be back in 2021 with another season full of killers and creeps from the Pacific Northwest. I'll remind you guys that patrons will still be getting their monthly episodes, and there's quite a backlog of bonus episodes and past live streams for anyone I may be putting in a show hole with my break. $5 gets you at least 10 bonus episodes, which should definitely keep your true crime addiction content. If you enjoy this podcast but don't do the whole Patreon thing, I would ask that you please, please just share your favorite podcast episode with a friend or two. Consider it my Christmas wish, even, if you're into that. I want to wish all my listeners a happy holidays and a high five for making it through one of the worst fucking years of our simultaneous lifetimes. I really hope that I was able to distract you and or make you smile at least a few times this year. As always, you guys, I want you to remember to be safe and you lock those damn doors because of people like Joseph Duncan. You got to keep the doggy doors locked for those psycho exes like Jodi Arias. And as far as this episode goes, don't assume every teacher has the decency to not sleep with your children, male or female. Basically, trust no one, ever. All right, you guys, love you. Bye. And that was the tea. I hope you enjoyed my rendition of the story on Mary Kay Letourneau, and if so, please tell all your creepy ass friends about it. You can find all the sources I used for the episode in its description. You can find me slanging those memes on Instagram at True Crime Queen. Check them out if you need a laugh after all this dark shit. If you'd like to support the podcast, check out patreon.com/gingerthetruecrimequeen, where you can find even more of that killer content.